Good evening, everybody. My name is Cheryl, and I'm definitely an addict. I need to let you know that after the main speaker had just finished, I ran up here thinking it was 10 o'clock, and the room was empty. And I was like, yes! They all went to other meetings. But after having my conversation with my higher power, I got real emotional, you know, and it's not like it's my first time, my second time. It's been many a times. But I'm never ready for what God has prepared for me to do, you know. When they talked about a cluttered spirit, you know, an unsupernatural being, that's what a spirit is. The only spirit that I used to know was a Holy Spirit that was implanted on me when I was a young girl, you know, and seeing people jump up and down and, you know, like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, all of that, you know. So at that point in time, I only knew what I was taught to believe, you know. And as I got older, I strayed, you know, because, you know, we get away from what we always taught and we want to see what's on the other side. That's what happened with me. And that's where my journey began. I didn't grow up and just say I wanted to be an addict. I didn't come from what you would call an addict family, maybe a little dysfunctional, you know. But our way of having a good time was church on Sunday, go to the bar right after, and, you know, go dance for some White Castle burgers. And that was fun to us, you know. But my family always seemed corny to me. I always wanted more and more and more because it was only me and my brother. And I was always taught, you know, like, whatever go on in the house, stay in the house. So I already knew then that I had to hide things that went on with me. I was taught that at an early age, secrets. And even though, you know, I didn't know what spirit really was, but my spirit was already broken as a young girl before I picked up my first drug. You know, my father used to fight my mother. You know, I was very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And I come from Southern folks, you know, that stayed together no matter what. And I used to think that it was okay for a man to treat a woman the way that my mother was being treated and stay in that forever. Because even though I've seen 9 years of it, it seemed like it was forever to me. You know, at 11 years old, I was already on volume, you know what I'm saying, because I had bad nerves, you know what I mean, because of just the things that was going on in my household that I couldn't express and I couldn't let go of. To move it up a little bit, because I don't want to be here long, because my time is long, you know what I'm saying. I started getting high because my brother used to steal my lunch money and go buy weed. And back then, we was only eating potato chip sandwiches and grape juice. I was at East Orange High School, and that's what we ate for lunch. And that's what my mother could afford. But after a while, I got tired of him just taking my money and not reaping the benefits. You know, so then it was like I started contributing to the things that was going on that I was, in beginning, just totally against. You know, I was the goody two-shoes, don't do this, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? The honor roll student, scared to get the C because I'm going to get my tail beat. You know, all of that. But somewhere along the line, I got a little bit of courage to go to the other side. And I was real sneaky with it. You know what I'm saying? So that was my first character defect. I learned how to lie very well when, you know, the bill collectors call and they say, Mommy ain't home. I learned how to lie quickly, you know. So I had a lot of character defects early on that I didn't even know was a character defect. I joined the military at 19 years old. I had my son. Let me go back up a little bit. I had my first child at 17. The second one at 21. Was married by 22. You know what I mean? And life started taking a spin. I got high through both pregnancies. I'm not proud of that, but that's what it is. a lot of things that I thought I was ashamed of back then, I'm no longer ashamed of. You know, like things that I used to couldn't say up here, I can say now because I freed myself. When I went away to the military, I was running from the lifestyle and somewhere to go to raise my hand that if I didn't have a place to live, that I can take care of me and my kids. But I stayed. And when I stayed, you know, it was like back then, you only took the one urine test to get in. You ain't have to worry about random urines and all of that. And so if you wanted to be on my truck, because I was a tractor trailer driver, you got to smoke, you got to drink, and that's what we packing. So when we went out to the woods, you know, everything, you know, like for boot camp, all that kind of stuff, you know, like it was just like all fun and games to me. I never took anything like really serious, you know, but I was always so lost trying to find a way, you know what I'm saying, to get out of things that I knew I shouldn't have been doing. So I was already going against the grain. I was already going against my spirit. When I was getting closer to the end in my military career, I wound up going to Iraq. And when I was over in Iraq, I had a lot of mixed feelings, a lot of mixed emotions, you know. And while I was over there, I was molested by friendly forces. And I was caught between a rock and a hard stone because these people had my life in their hands. What missions they were going to send me out on and what danger they was going to put me in. And I felt real submissive. I felt like I couldn't tell nobody. And I worked for, you know, the higher echelon, so they were the big bosses. You know what I mean? So, like, who they gonna believe? And I was getting so sick, you know, like God found a way out, you know? And you're talking about a cluttered spirit. My spirit was so blinded by, you know, like just violations, by feeling betrayed, by just like all the tools that I had of recovery still trying to hold on because I could have got anything I wanted to ease the pain. Because, you know, we go everywhere we go, and everything we want is wherever we go. No matter if you're in the military. And I had a choice because, you know, like nobody would have knew if I chose to get high, you know. And but at that point in time, I didn't want to lose my 17 years. And how I came connected with the Potomac area, right? I came back, I got medevac back, I was so sick, right? And so confused, didn't know who to tell, didn't want to tell my family, you know what I'm saying? I was married at the time, and I called them when we was on the phone, and I was telling them how, you know, like what's going on with me and, you know, trying to get it out. And he told me, I taught you better than that. Stop acting like a baby. You from Newark. I ain't want to hear that. Newark ain't have a daggone thing to do with that. I was reaching out to the man that I thought would understand, would be my best friend, would be there to, you know, like, get me through. But now I had another resentment on top of the other resentments. And I just built up a lot of hate. I was angry. I was already missing home. I was already missing my kids. I had only seen my grandson for one day before I left for almost 2 years. And I was very unhappy, very unhappy. I was basically just a miserable B.I. And when I got back here, I couldn't hardly walk. I had to have my thyroid radiated out. I came back here asthmatic. I came back here with sleep apnea. You know what I mean? I came back here with everything that I didn't have before I left. So you talking about somebody that went somewhere, I consider myself like basically perfectly normal besides the disease of addiction, and came back totally disrupt. And come to an area where I didn't even know anybody. I was at Walter Reed Hospital for 7 months. And I hated Tuesdays because I had to go to therapy and talk about it all over again. And then, you know, like, no offense to whoever in here, Arab or anything like that, but every time I went in there, and then they had changed my therapist to this guy that had on the turban from what I just left, I flipped out. I couldn't have people in my room because I diagnosed with PTSD. I have major depression disorder, you know, and it's only but for the grace of God, you know, that I know I'm where I'm at today. Because when I got here to D.C., because that's where I was at, right, I had nothing but a PT uniform. And it was chilly. I ain't had no clothes. I ain't had no shoes. And I wasn't used to that lifestyle at all. So they gave me some stuff from a little, you know, like pantry that people donate. I had on a T-shirt that didn't fit down to here. I had on some, you know, I call them slip and slide sneakers. Some jeans that didn't fit. All I had on was just what I said, some clothes. But I was grateful. You know what I'm saying? I was grateful. Because I had been in these rooms long enough to know where people come from, even though it wasn't my story, that we can turn around at any given day and it be your story. Clean or using. And so when I, you know, came in here and, you know, thought that I was, you know, I wasn't like that. I didn't sleep on the corner. I didn't do this. Well, watch what you say. Because things that you thought you didn't do can definitely come true, even clean. So I got on the internet when I was able to, you know, like get around a little better. And I went to that first meeting up in Silver Springs. And I met some women there. And they took me to Heck Ave, to the meeting trust. And I was standing there over to the side, like a lost child, right? Because everybody was smoking. And I couldn't be in the smoke, you know, because like I said, I was asthmatic. And Paul was selling tickets. And he looked at me like I was a homeless kid. And he looked at me to my, "Where you from, baby?" And I said, "New Jersey." He said, "Here, let me give you a ticket because you look like you need a friend." And so he thought I couldn't pay for my ticket. So I went to give him, you know, the money for the ticket. So I'm like, "Oh, you gonna pay?" He said, "How much time you got?" So I told him 17 years. And he was devastated. But what devastated him even more, like I said, I was busted, clean. And I was just like starting to meet a lot of people, you know, in the D.C. area. And then, you know, like I got a little better. My first trip home, I was on the train, you know, going back. So I went home, I got my truck, I got my clothes, and now I'm ready. I got my tools. I came back, and Paul had me meet him at the Baltimore convention. Like I said, I came back ready. So now I'm geared up. And when I got out the truck, and any of y'all that know Paul, he like a womanizer. But it was too late for that, right? Because he was already now my BMF. And when I got out the truck and he was like, you motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like when you work out and everything and the curves was there and all that, you know, like all bets was off because he was my best friend now. And I love him to death, you know, because ever since that day, he has been my best male friend. And he has, you know, like taken me many places that I have never been in a Potomac area. So I thank him for that, for introducing me to all of y'all. So I thank y'all area for inviting me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. Recently, I've been going through. My son's house got raided. He has 5 kids. Dyfus wanted to take them, send them to a family. And it was in Ocean City, and I live in Jackson. What do you do? The 3 oldest ain't mine. They not my biological grandchildren. You talking about a cluttered spirit? I just got rid of my oldest kids, 29 and 25. Life was supposed to begin now. Well, life had just started over. You know, because that cry of desperation from my granddaughter, when she called me up and she was like, Grandma, please don't let them take us. And I was like, what am I going to do with 5 kids? I'm a single woman. I hold my own. You know, my house is big enough, but I'm ready to have some damn fun. And I'm like, never questioning God, though. Never questioned it once. And I just was like, okay, God. You're trying to tell me something. Maybe you ain't ready to play. I was like, I've been separated 4 years. How long do I have to wait? I said, okay. Now I got to put the toys back in the closet. Right? You know, because, see, I keep it real. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no problems with me today. And, you know, ain't no need to be, you know, teaching kids. You know what I mean? So, the spirit that I thought I had uncluttered had immediately been cluttered again. So, I take on these 5 kids, right? Now, you need to know that 2 got ADHD. The 5-year-old acting out so bad, and this is the biological. She got suspended twice in kindergarten for 5 days. She kicked teachers, she bite teachers, she make them bleed, she cussed them out, she call them all kinds of bees, you know what I mean? And I'm like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, not my grandbaby. That ain't her. You look at her, you think she the sweetest little thing. The sweetest little thing. I mean, just look at you with a little batting eyes, you know? But she hell on wheels. And I need to say that I already had my daughter's son, so that's 6. Because she using, right? So, even though neither one of my kids ever seen me use, y'all, we never know what the outcome going to be. They was NA babies. I brought them to meetings. You know what I mean? They could recite the Serenity Prayer. All that. They used to play that as games. She come and tell you that she just got her 23-year medallion. You know what I'm saying? And she ain't earned one. You know, she doesn't miss not one of my celebrations. And she come in, whether she drunk, whether she high, but she always show up. You know what I mean? And I'm still praying on that seat that one day it be hers. And my kids is my life. I need to let y'all know that. That's one of the hardest things for me in my recovery. I can talk the talk. I could help you get through your situation when it comes through kids. I know what to tell you to help you. But when that stuff hit home, my heart melts like butter. You know what I mean? And I be so confused. I mean, so confused. My spirit just be ripped, torn on which way to go. How many times do I bail them out? They don't even hit the county. I just got that far this year to let them see themselves in a suit. Maybe a couple of days. And then once some phone calls keep coming steady, I don't have the courage to not put the money on the phone for them to call me. What if something happened to them? Because, see, I forgot to tell you that I worked in corrections for 20 years, so I know what it's like on both sides of the fence. You know what I'm saying? And I did my 22 years in the military, so I know what it's like and what can happen in there. And I ain't trying to brag and I ain't trying to boast, but I got some good-looking daggone kids, right? My son is a pretty boy. I mean, from top to bottom. You know, like girls just want them. I have to keep sponsees off them. And I ain't lying. You know what I'm saying? I let him know straight up. He ain't no good. You know, I let you know. He ain't no good. He got baby number 6 that just came by baby number 3. Baby mama number 3. I need to say that, right? And he had baby number 6 on baby mama number 4, right? So go figure. He nasty. Right? But, you know, I still love him to death no matter what. Because, see, my mother and my father never gave up on me. No matter what I did. No matter how many nights they didn't get no sleep. You know, no matter how many times I cluttered their religious spirits, you know what I'm saying? I found my own God, right? And when you talk about spirits today, I think about the things that's unforeseen along with my faith, right? And now, don't get it twisted. I'm not the holy roller. I will mess up on any given day. You know what I'm saying? Catch me on the wrong day, I might cuss you out. You know what I'm saying? But I do practice to the best of my ability. But 6 kids, it was really hard. Not to, you know, like cuss. And I'd be telling them, that's my New Year's resolution. You know, and they'd be like, Grandma, don't cuss. And I go, I'm sorry, baby, because they right. You know? But I used to have a cluttered spirit in my relationship also. And I can't leave that out, right, because it's a big part of my recovery. I was married and with my husband for 18 years. And I cluttered a lot of feelings. I cluttered a lot of emotions. And as much as I resented a lot of things that he done, was just as much as I loved him in spite of the things that he done. In spite of the times that I cheated because he cheated, I still loved him in spite of. As many times as I said I was going to leave and I ain't coming back, I still That's my sponsor, y'all. See, they tell you things when you don't want to talk about them, right? And I ain't really want to go there. I need to talk about the depression, right? Of like the PTSD and how sometimes, like when I first came home and the firecrackers would go off, right? And I would still be taking cover. I would be driving and let go of the wheel because I'd be so scared. And I'm the one that don't like to cry in front of people. So I try not to go to them places that hurt too bad. I was so depressed, right? And so low. I wouldn't come out the house. I wouldn't open the blinds. I wouldn't answer the phone. People had to come to my house to check on me. Because I just couldn't do it. I went to crisis. I ain't never been there before. And I'm looking at all these people that's coming in. And I'm like, I don't belong here. And I'm like, God trying to show me something. Like, have gratitude in your attitude, boo. Because you made it back. Right? I still got all my limbs. Right? I seen a lot of people that don't have that I was right next to. You know, like, there's a song where they just keep going higher and higher. Even when I got lower and lower. Being on the phone, hanging up, and you don't get another call for days. Nobody knowing whether you was dead or alive. And can't tell them really where you at. Can't tell them what the mission really is. And I was like in so much pain. So much pain. Sometimes I just don't fucking like it up here. Because I don't like to always look at me. I don't like to always tell people about me. I'm better on the helping end. I'll give you all of me. And give me just none of me. I need to thank y'all for being here for me. It ain't about me being here for you. You know, because this is a two-way street, right? And the message that probably was supposed to come out probably didn't come out. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, the things that I probably needed to say when I went and prayed is what God wanted me to give. So, if I didn't give you a total message on cluttered spirits, I apologize. But my spirit is still my spirit, right? I'm not apologizing for what I said because it was meant to be said. But I'm not going to say that I don't love everybody in this room because I love everything you stand for. You know, when they say I ain't got nothing but love for you, baby, I'm that girl. I want to thank my sponsees, my sponsor, for, you know, like, coming down with me, you know, because I still got defects. I like to shop. So it took me a little bit longer to get here. Just a little bit. We passed the Coach store, and it was... But you know what? I'm glad I can go to the Coach store today. You know, because I used to get a drug dealer my Coach money. You know, and probably hop on the Coach with him to go get some more. But it's all right. And with that, Eric told me to get up here and had a ball. I had a ball of tears, but it's all right. And I thank y'all for being here, and thanks for letting me share. Thank you.